Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's going to be a rainy 2.5 days, as I understand it. Rain coming in later this morning and this afternoon, most of tomorrow intermittently, and then mostly Saturday morning, which is not good because they got some stuff scheduled. But we'll see how it plays out. We might be able to get that Children's Hospital parade in or maybe delay it. I don't know what the plans are, but we'll find out and let you know as soon as we do. Hara Poramatta joins us right now, an assistant professor of operations research and statistics at MIT. We saw this story at time.com, and it got our attention about AI and politics and social media. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I am okay. Thanks for taking the time with us. You know, I'm looking at the headline here. AI is transforming politics, much like social media did. I think sometimes people conflate social media with AI. So maybe we'll start by talking about the difference.
Yes, of course. So social media are platforms that, you know, we can go online, interact with our friends. Their main goal is that there is a network of people around us that we connect. We either know them in real life or they are, you know, internet friends. And we build this network of people around us and we just, you know, exchange ideas and we can chat and also see their posts, see their pictures, see the music that they put out. It's just a network of people at its core. When we talk about AI, artificial intelligence, the broad goal of AI is to build algorithms that can do things that humans do, but more effectively and better in some sense. So modern artificial intelligence systems are what we call, you may have heard in the news about generative AI. They are all these like chatbots like ChatGPT and Gemini and Claude that you can go online and prompt it, ask a lot of questions that you want to learn either about science or like other things around you. But that's the core difference, I would say. It's this like network structure that we see in social media as opposed to, you know, you a single human interacting with an AI system nowadays.
So it seems like even though I might be a friend of Hara Poramatta on social media and you give me something or tell me something, I shouldn't even make it about you. Let's make it about Joe Black. And I see his social media post and I believe what he says because I think I know he knows what he's talking about, although he may not when it comes to these larger language models. I might think that it's unbiased, but I don't know. Does anybody know who is behind those large language models or who's putting the information in there or how the information is being selected?
Right. That's a great question. I think that there are a couple of things to distinguish here. Like these large language models are AI systems that are what we call trained in a big corpus of training data. And this training data can be data that these models found on the internet, on different encyclopedias. We don't know exactly what goes in the training data of these models. Now, the other thing that's also true is that all of these models right now, the biggest ones that we have in the U.S., they come from companies that have stated their commitment to really try to do, you know, good by society, try to suppress misinformation, suppress conspiracy theories. So they have their own, you know, teams that are internal and they pose a lot of guardrails for these models. So I want to be very careful here and not assign intent, because, you know, although these models are still black box for all matters for the public, I do think that there's a significant effort from the companies to, you know, do good by society.
Explain so that. I'm sorry, Professor. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to add to conclude that that doesn't mean that, you know, it's always perfect, right? And that's what our study shows, that these models do express some sorts of biases from time to time. But in our case study, most frequently these biases kind of like seem to reflect things that we would see from the general population through election polls. But yeah, please go ahead.
So when you say black box, define that. What do you mean by that?
When we talk about a black box model, roughly speaking, we talk about a model that, although we know what goes sometimes into its input, so like in a large language model, the input when we interact with the system is a prompt, what you type on the chatbot, you don't know what happens in the inner workings of the system that causes the model to start giving you a response, which is the output. So we call it a black box because we cannot like see exactly what happens in the algorithm underlying this whole process.
Do we not know because it's proprietary information, or do we not know because we just don't know?
So there are a couple of things here. Yeah, like to some extent, this is proprietary information, like... although, and this is not something that's new to large language models. Like, if we think about the search engines, we don't know exactly, like, we have an idea. Google had published some papers about their search engine, but we don't know exactly how these algorithms truly work, right? It's like proprietary information. So that's one thing. The other thing is that underlying all this technology is another big technology that you may have heard of, deep neural networks. Now, deep neural networks are highly complex, and they are also like hard to specify concretely because they come with billions of parameters. And actually, this is a blessing and a curse for AI nowadays, because these billion of parameters, these large language models, these deep neural networks, is really where these systems draw their powers from. This is the big breakthrough that allowed these systems to be so powerful. So, you know, on the one hand, it is a blessing because it ushered us in this like new era of generative AI, but it is kind of a curse because we cannot understand completely what these models are doing.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Hara Podamata, Assistant Professor of Operations Research and Statistics at MIT, about these large language models, about black boxes, about when you ask AI for information about an election, is the information you're getting unbiased or not? Or if it's biased, is it because of what's in that so-called black box, or is it because of the question that you asked and it's tailoring its answer toward what it thinks you maybe want to hear? I guess. I don't know. We'll pick it up. We come back. 622 Traffic Now, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Thanks for getting your Thursday morning started with us. We're talking to Hara Podamata, an assistant professor of operations, research, and statistics at MIT, about AI impacting politics and elections. So, Professor, if I can, maybe to get to the bottom line here, and then I'll go back if we have time. Mm-hmm. When it comes to these black boxes or the deep neural networks, if I were to get whomever it is, a select group of people into one room, would everybody there know everything that these deep neural networks can do? Or have they, pardon the use of words, developed a mind of their own where...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Maybe not everybody can put all the pieces together.
So, once again, I want to be very careful about this. A lot of people, me included, and other experts in the field, we do understand, like, a lot of things about how these models work. The part that we don't understand belongs to, you know, some randomness. But it's not that we don't understand the inner workings. It's that these models are so complex that without actually running the model and interpreting the outputs, it's really, really hard to understand which parameter was activated at which point to try to make a clear deduction of like, hey, that was a critical factor that influenced how this model behaved at this point. And this is the reason why a lot of people have started trying to do black box experiments with these models, black box auditing, trying to understand, you know, based on the outputs of these models, how can we understand more deeply what is happening? What are these models doing? I want to be very careful and steer clear of any of how these models developed a mind of their own. I think that this is not the correct way to view this, because these are still like, human-made, algorithms, human-made machines. And I know that there's a lot of debate in the community about whether artificial general intelligence is already here. I personally think that it's not already here. So, take this like with a grain of salt.
Well, you've forgotten more about this than I could ever understand if I lived to be 185 years old, Professor. So I'll take your words very seriously. I hope you come back and talk about this, because it is we are just like on the. This is like the Neanderthal stage of artificial intelligence. Would that be accurate or not?
I wouldn't say Neanderthal, but I think we're going to see a lot more advances in the coming years. I think we are definitely in the like AI revolution stage right now. So, yeah, month by month, we're going to be seeing new advances, I think.
Hope you come back. Thank you. Hara Potamata, Assistant Professor of Operations Research and Statistics at MIT. We'll talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, when we come back. 504-260-1870. What's the best cookie of all time? That's our survey today. Today's National Cookie Day. I give you the results after 9 o'clock. Text your answer in the 504-260-1870. It can be more than one if you want. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Got some rain coming in, 6:43, 17 till 7 later on today, and then for most of tomorrow on and off. And through Saturday morning, as I understand it, that's what they're calling for. But I guess we need it. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, joins us as he does every Thursday morning. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, it is raining. That's good. A nice, good drizzle rain. You know, we are still far behind on the amount of rainfall. Some of the areas of the state are in moderate drought, believe it or not. But one of the things, you know, we've ended hurricane season, and there were 15 storms out in the Atlantic, and not a single storm came onshore on Louisiana.
Thank God.
Now, we saw this in 2023, but we didn't even have any severe tropical storms. Mm-hmm. You know, normally those tropical storms and storms bring a lot of moisture, a lot of rainfall, and we haven't seen this now. This is 2023, and again now in 2025. And so if you look at these, you know, particular patterns, and we have to adjust for that. Yeah, I'm glad we had no storms, no hurricanes hit. But, again, that's one of the reasons that we had these dry conditions. And in other parts, you know, other states, it has a greater effect. You know, the lack of rainfall that has been not moving up, you know, from the southern states. And so, but again, we really, this rainfall is great, as you probably been reading. I've been reading intently. We are anticipating, a good crawfish season. That's what we're hoping to see. We had a very good crops. It had very good rice. And so moving forward, next we'll be looking at crawfish.
Yeah, where are we at right now with that? I'm just wondering the timing of this, you know, because we get all excited about Christmas and New Year's, and rightfully so, and then automatically our attention turns the next thing, Mardi Gras and crawfish, right? So I guess I'm wondering, where are we in the cycle right now? The rice has been harvested, if that's what they do with rice?
The rice has been harvested, both crops, because you get two crops of rice. You have the first crop, then what we call the ratoon crop, because it grows again. So you cut it actually twice. And then we reflood the fields, and now what's happening is that the rice stubble, what's left, you know, is breaking down, and the crawfish are feeding. Now, this little bit of cold snap, the crawfish go back in their holes, and they'll kind of sit there for, you know, so we, you know, when it's cold, you lose a few days, because when it's got to be warm, it's got to warm up, you know, stay up and get above, you know, that, you know, 50 degrees for them to come out and really start feeding. But I think we'll see some pretty good crawfish going into early February, and then real strong, you know, again during Lent. That's what we're looking for. So it is seasonal. You know, I have seen, you know, a few crawfish. I actually saw one flat of strawberries. Of course, they were greenhouse raised. But, you know, we start anticipating crawfish now. And, you know, and one of the things I said, look, if you can't find crawfish, they got some beautiful shrimp out there. You need to get some of our Louisiana shrimp. And I've had some wonderful gumbo last night, some Louisiana shrimp in there over with some Louisiana rice. But crawfish are coming. And that's one of the things, you get crawfish on the brain, and it doesn't go away.
No.
I mean, you've got to have the crawfish, but I tell you, they are coming, and we just can't wait. That is part of our tradition. You know, that's Mardi Gras and crawfish, right?
Yep.
It's coming.
Do you have, I know you're getting a trade mission coming up to UK. Tell me about that.
Yes, I'm headed back to England, and I'll be there, and we're bringing some industry officials with us, and some legislators will be meeting with Drax. And Drax, which is a huge company that buys wood products from us. If you look at Drax, Drax makes energy from wood, biomass. And one of the things we're going over to do is talk to British officials and also to industry officials, so that they have a better understanding of the sustainability of our forest. And if you look at, they'll import about 7 million metric tons of biomass, 80% of that from the United States, and 90% of that from Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas. Mississippi and Arkansas are lesser partners than we. We are the majority of that, and we have to. There's the issue over there is you're dealing now with the European Union and the deforestation issues, and they simply don't understand what a sustainable forest is. In other words, our pine plantations. So we're going over there to strengthen that, and we've been asked why we are there. We're going to be visiting with some rice millers and for the sale of rice. So we're going over there for the timber industry and for the rice industry and cementing those relationships. But the work we have to do is dealing with the Labor Party, the Conservative Party, the Reform Party, and also the smaller parties. So they just don't understand, you know, United States and Louisiana timber, because for them, you know, there are no timber real farms sustainable. They import all their wood. And so, again, to strengthen that, because this is a huge industry, you know, you're looking at $2 billion worth of wood pellets in the next few years. And it's a massive industry. And we'll be visiting their generation facilities as well, and also go into rice mills as well.
Mike, even though you explain them, it's like you show them, it's like, okay, look, here's the deal. See, we're planting these trees, and then we wait X amount of years, and we harvest them. But in the meantime, we're planting these trees, and they're growing, and then we harvest them. Then these trees have been planted, and they're growing, and they don't get it?
No, they don't, because, you know, I mean, fundamentally, I mean, down the public doesn't understand. The political figures don't understand. And so it's a whole mindset. And one of the things that I offered to do is maybe do a lecture series to their members of parliament and to their major universities, that we may be setting that up so we can really educate them and show them what a pine plantation is. You know, and I asked them yesterday on the phone call with officials in England. I said, you drink tea, right? He said, well, sure. I said, you use sugar? Well, sugar. Of course we do. I said, okay, that's a 5-year crop. Sugar is a 5-year crop, whereas we harvest, we do the first harvest on our timber at 12 years. We completely harvest by 18, then we replant. So you have to think about it like you think about sugar cane and sugar. That's what our timber is. And again, I said, we have 15 million acres of planted pine plantations. And so you've got to change that fundamental mindset. And so I was surprised that they simply don't understand it, or, you know, you wonder, so, well, or do they not believe it? You know, because they've been told through social media and other things that cutting trees, you know, is a bad thing, but you have to cut our timber. Our sustainable forest, those trees die at year 30. I mean, they die. And then if there's no use for them, you're not going to replant and continue the cycle. So it's a very important that they understand the carbon positive of it and the fact that it is an infinitely renewable resource. And so, and to cement that and to keep that going.
All right, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back with Mike Strain, 651, 9 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Thursday morning. That's when we talk to Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, and a beloved veterinarian on the North Shore. Mike, when it comes to Christmas trees and cold weather and safety, let's talk about that, please.
Yes. Now, you can buy and go choose and cut your fresh Louisiana Christmas tree, or you find a lot that it has Louisiana Christmas trees. You can look on the back page of your market bulletin. There's a nice list. Or go to southernchristmastrees.org, click on Louisiana, and they give you a listing. If you look in St. Tammany Parish, you know, there's Country Pines, there's Tiger Branch, Washington Parish, there's Steeles, and Easterling, and you just click on it, tell you the time, the location. So go out and cut that tree with your family. Now, when you get it home, if you're not going to immediately put it into the stand, what you need to, you'll have to, don't let it dry out. Put it in a bucket of water. And then before you put it in the stand, saw off another quarter of an inch to a half an inch. And if you don't have a saw, use a file, because what happens after you cut it, the sap will try to make, quote, a bandage, if you would think of that, on the bottom. And then you want to keep it in water. That's the main thing. They will continue to uptake water. Use one of the stands and add water to it. You got to check that water, you know, every couple days to make sure that you've got enough. That way it keeps it wet and moist. And then, you know, look, get some lights. If you guys have any problem with those lights, get some new lights, right? Don't take a chance. And when you go to bed at night, unplug it. The other thing is be cognizant of where you put it relative to a space heater or relative to the fireplace, because, you know, safety first. But the main thing, keep it moist, use good lights, turn the lights off at night. And of course, what I always do, if there's going to be small kids in the house, you know, I'll take a piece of monofilament line, and I will literally tie it to the wall so they can't pull it down.
Smart man.
Have a fun, safe Christmas.
Smart man. Have a safe trip. Mike, real quick, today's National Cookie Day. You got a favorite cookie?
Oh, I absolutely do. That would be oatmeal with some chocolate in it. Yeah, me and Hootie like cookies. Now, I'm sure Grady would like one of those, too.
He loves cookies.
Oh, oatmeal cookies are, how you say, delicious.
You got it. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a safe travel. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. We'll take a look back at 2025, what stood out and what didn't. Then we'll talk with Wilson Alexander, LSU beat writer for The Advocate, about early signing period. A lot coming up. Stay with us. Oh, and you can text your favorite cookie on this National Cookie Day, 504-260-1870. Give you the results at 9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.